over to Jeff and let him roll with it. Like I said, we are going to take up a love offering, and a couple things to keep in mind as we take up a love offering. Jeff's got a couple different things going on right now that he is raising funds for. I guess the first and foremost, most immediate, is the Christmas stockings. 300, that's the goal this year, right, Jeff? Right at it already. Amen. So just keep pouring into it, and I just pray they would be over and abundant. And if you want to sow into that, you can do that. And also they are in a building planning for a bunkhouse for a lot of the students that have a long, long commute to try to get to school. I love Heidi Baker's approach to ministry, and I see the same thing with Katie over in Uganda, Katie Davis over in Uganda, and it is we're going to educate them and we're going to feed them, and in the process we're going to show them the love of Jesus, and that's the way we're going to reach their parents. And so it's not through mass evangelism, but it's in through the children. And so I love that model. I love that heart. And Jeff's doing the same thing over there. So that's a couple projects, and he'll be sharing more about that. But we're going to turn it over and let Jeff run with it. Here you go, brother.
All right. I'm excited. I get nervous. I'm not a public speaker. I'll just warn you up front. That's not my thing. I'm better at talking to kids and playing with kids than talking. But I'm excited today because this is the five years of our ministry in the Philippines. And, well, I left out my greeting. I have my notes here. I'm going to go by then. Good morning, y'all, in Harrelson County and in Visayan, it's Mangbuntag, and Sabanan is Pia Sisalam. So I've been really learning the language. I actually change my accent when I'm there. I speak a Filipino English. Sharon can talk more about that. It's really simplified, and I've learned a lot of the Visayan. My Visayan is Southern Visayan, so they make fun of my slang Visayan, but it's fun. And it makes a lot of points learning the language, to be honest with you. Man, I just want to tell you guys, thank you. You guys have been on board since the beginning. You know, Pastor Sidney and I talked about it, and he was a big supporter of it when it launched out. And, man, you guys have, like, just wrecked me with blessing me with stuff. And, I mean, excuse me, I get choked up. But back to my speaking points here. Yeah, we started out 5 years ago with 65 kids at Campo Dos, and that has blown up. We're in three communities now. We're ministering to 800-plus kids every month. We're in Campo Dos, Ligaron, and our newest place is Titic. Titic is like, it's hard to get there. You have to drive a motorcycle there through mud and all kind of fun stuff, crossing a couple of creeks and stuff. It's 28-29 miles away from Sindangan, the furthest place, but it's overlooked and the people are hungry there, so it's really cool. Whenever I heard about that place, God sent me there, and I'll get more into what's going on there in just a minute. I really feel like there's new faces here that I don't know, so I'm going to share my testimony about how I went out into, ended up in the Philippines of all places. I mean, you know, it's like 8,000 miles from Bremen, Georgia, so it's a long ways away. Back in 2004, my eldest son Cody and I went on a mission trip to Uganda, Africa. The missionaries came here, Tom and Teresa Harris, and we sent out three teams of two. It was Cody and I. I forget everybody that went, but we were like the second team to go, and we went there. And God just reminded me, you know, I want you to be in ministry. And I want you to be a missionary. That's what your call is on your life. So, you know, I began to pray about it. My kids were young at that time. I knew at that point I couldn't just quit my job and pack up everything and go in the mission field. So he began just, to, you know, a 10-year process of me going into the mission work. And a few years later, 2011, everywhere I read, I would be reading a random book, see something on TV, and Uganda, Africa kept popping up in the books, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I want you to go back there again. So I contacted Tommy and Teresa and set out back to Africa again. on the way to Africa, to get there, you had to fly into London, England. You have a layover of a few hours, and you go rent a day room and spend a night. I mean, you sleep a little bit, and then I did that and went back to the airport, and my flight was delayed because there was a thunderstorm in London, England. So I had my book, the Radical, David Platt Radical book. And I was like, well, I'll just read this. I get to this chapter, and it's talking about Katie Davis and all these people that's like just quitting their jobs and leaving stuff and going to do mission work. And, man, this, I get choked up on this one. I get on my airplane, and this lady asked me, can you trade seats with me so I can sit with my husband? I'm like, sure, why not? You know, I'm a Southern gentleman. I'm going to trade. And so I traded seats, and I got sat by this lady, and it's a long flight, so started talking to her, and come to find out, she was a teacher in Texas, some school in Texas. She, like, quit her job, sold all her stuff, and was going to Uganda, Africa, to capital city, Kampala, to work with street children there. So the Holy Spirit says, Jeffrey, that's what he calls me when he talks to me, you'll do that one day. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, whatever. Then I get on, and I'm talking to Tommy and Teresa, just chit-chatting with them, and I'm like, you know, I like to go to a couple of different countries and just visit other missionaries and just see how other missionaries do things. And I said, do you know anybody in Guatemala I can go see? And they're like, no. So how about the Philippines? Like, that was just a random thought from the Holy Spirit. And they were like, yeah, we have a missionary friend that used to work with us that lives in Carrollton, and she goes to the Philippines. So I came back, emailed her. Next thing I know, next year, I'm in the Philippines for a couple of weeks. I get there, and I mean, like, fell in love with the place, fell in love with the culture, the people and stuff. You know, I'm on Negros Island. It's kind of tame there, and I keep hearing this. I heard this place called Sindangan. Sindangan, I kept hearing that, and it's Mindanao. Mindanao's dangerous. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to go there. And it just kept resonating with me. I came back from my trip, and man, I had this dream. This is a cool dream. I had this dream. I was at a wedding. It was by the ocean. It was like really cool beach wedding stuff setting, and then I'm the groom. And then the bride is Filipina. And, you know, oh, yeah, finally I'm going to get married again, and all this stuff. And a few weeks later, I think God has a sense of humor. I know him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are laughing. Like, yeah, well, that's not what this one means. And they gave me an interpretation. You know, I finally got the interpretation of the dream. And the dream was I'm going to fall in love with the Philippines, and that's where I'm going to do the ministry. Wow, okay, that was awesome. The next year, I went back again for a few weeks, and still, Sindanga and Sabana and all, you know, kept coming up in all my conversations. Mindanao is dangerous, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go there. Then, I kept praying about it, and that was 2013. I came back, and in late December, God challenged me to make Isaiah 6:8 like my verse for the year. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger of these people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And a few weeks later, another verse popped up in my devotional. It was Ecclesiastes 11:4. Farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. God began to speak to me through this. You know, I was thinking, you know, 2017, Cody's graduating from the Air Force Academy. That's the best time to go and do this. But God said, no, there's something going to show up in 2017. Then you're going to find an excuse not to do it. I want you to do it this coming up year, 2014. I'm like, well, okay. So I was here in worship one day. I'm like, God, when do you really want me to do it? And he's like, March 13th. I want you to go put in your notice at work. I got to researching it. Wow, March 13 is the 10-year anniversary of when I left to go to Uganda, Africa. I was like, okay. And I've read the book. I saw what Jonah went through. If you don't go, he's going to send you there anyway. So I wrote out, I'll swallowed by a whale, ended up in the Philippines. You know, that would be interesting. But so I wrote out my notice, went, gave it to the police chief, and I told him on June 23rd, 2014, I'm done. No more policing. I'm going to go, don't know what I'm getting into, but I'm going to the Philippines to do mission work. So I sold all my stuff, and 7 days later, on June 30th, I was on an airplane going to the Philippines for the first time. A month later, I was in Sindangan, Mindanao, this place I'm not supposed to go, but I'm there anyway. And I was working with some local pastors, and they were not taking me to the dangerous and hard places. So, it was on a trip, my second trip there. Holy, I've got the clicker. It was on my second trip to the Philippines. The pastors are just like running me ragged. I mean, I'm like going here and there, and you know, I had a vision of what it was looking like. You know, walking around these villages and seeing these kids and stuff. And finally, I had this family there that would just take me away. I would go to the beach and stuff. And they took me to this little village called Campo Dos just to get away. I wanted to see the, because it's cold there and there was fog. So I went there to spend the night, and I'm walking around this village, Campo Dos, and I'm seeing all these things I'd seen in my vision before when I first left. And I'm like, oh wow, this is cool. That's a neat place. And I took this picture here of these three kids. And then I came back, and God really started speaking to me, like, I want you to go start your ministry there. I want you to start an outreach there. I'm like, well, the other pastors, they don't want to go, and it's dangerous. And he's like, don't worry about that. I got it. So the next year, in 2015, we went back. We started out with the 65 kids. By Christmas that year, you guys sent us some Christmas gifts. We're up to like 275 kids coming to our outreach just at Campo Dos. Pretty awesome. I'll just go through the slides and kind of give you some out views. This is Campo Dos outreach. This is our 2018 school distribution. Some of the things we do school distributions. We're like really help big into the schools there at Campo Dos, which is Benigno Aquino Elementary School, and then we're at Titic Elementary School. There we are distributing the school supplies. Some of the cute kids. That's the little sister of one of the kids in my original picture. And then we'll go to TTIC Outreach. Our first outreach in TTIC was 2018, and we did like a school. We just distributed school supplies there. There they are. They were so happy because people don't go there. And that's like the school. You see the mountains in the background. It's really, it's a beautiful place, but it's fun to get there riding a motorcycle. Then Ligaron Outreach. And Ligaron, and as well as TTIC, were involved with the Sabanian Evangelical Christian Church. That's hard to say. Which is actually born again Pentecostal churches there. And we do a lot with the Ligaron. The kids at the church singing, they're cute. That's like all the members of the church. And we go to, I just go after church, I just go to into the community, just give all the little kids lollipops and bless, they get blessings. So one of the cool things about the Filipino kids is they like to be blessed. So, can I have a kid? Who wants to, here, come here. This means come here in Filipino. So if I do something weird, it's usually I adapt to the culture. What they do is they ask you to bless them. So take my hand, and then put it to their forehead. So you bless them. Man, that's an awesome opportunity to impart blessings into them. So, you know, and I make the best of it. My kids and my little live around me. They're coming running into. Bless, 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 bless. You know, it's really cool. Okay, thank you. That was just a side note. Yeah, some of the Huron kids. Some of them are shy. And we'll move into the Christmas outreaches. Christmas is so much fun. Like, I'm going back in a couple of weeks. Christmas music's going to be playing on this end of the land to go to the malls and stuff. And in a few weeks, they're going to be, like, decorating everything for Christmas. I mean, like, all the plazas, parks, and everything is really cool. If you like Christmas, come see me. This past Christmas, what we did is, I can't, you know, I've got, like, 800 kids. I can't, like, get stockings for everyone. So what I do is I just kind of rotated it out for each community. And I will take give stockings to one of the communities. Last year it was in Ligurin. Then what we do is we find a need at the schools, the school kids need, and then we meet it. Last year, Kansas Baptist Church gave us like 1,000 Beanie Babies. So I have all these Beanie Babies. And then I went and bought slippers. This is Duralite slippers for the kids. And we gave all the kids Duralite slippers, Beanie Baby, and some candy. And then we cooked we had pig kill, sent it to the mountains, and we cooked them a meal that day. This is Campo Dos kids, Christmas. Campo Dos kids. And here's Ligurin. Ligurin's where we did the stockings for last year. And just to see their faces whenever they received this, I got smiles from kids that have never, ever smiled at me before. So just to see that makes it worth the expense of shipping all that. You can see the one girl there smiling. And we did the same there. We had a feeding as well. That's a cute baby. And then these are like my kids here. You know, I've got like kids, then I have my kids. I don't have grandkids yet. I have granddogs, but these are kind of like, yeah, I guess my grandkids. They're Shin Shin, Ken Ken, and Ding Dong. Everybody has a nickname, but yeah, Shin Shin loves me. I mean, like, I get hugs and kisses from her always. Same with Ken Ken. Then here's T-Tick. And the T-Tick community is 100% Sabanan. So, like, everybody there is Sabanan. The teachers have to learn how to speak Sabanan, which is cool. This is they've never, ever experienced anything like this. The principal, all the kids, teachers. And they like to make me signs, too, which is cool. And then, for fun, on Christmas Day, I like to get on my bicycle. I put on my Santa Claus bicycle jersey. I load my bag up with candies, and I go to these remote areas, and I give out candy to all the kids. I usually end up taking a team of people with me because, like, yeah, we have, like, lots of kids. So this past year, we gave out, like, 350 bags of candy to the kids and stuff. And I actually went to Tikbal and... Actually, TF Village is my first trip to the Philippines, so this was the area that I was familiar with, and I was kind of revisiting it, and some of the kids, they knew who I was, and I didn't know who they were. Some of the kids on Christmas. And this water pump is really cool. I have a good story with that. It's like, when I was visiting the village, we had to stay in one of the houses there, and I actually had to take a bath at the water pump, and the whole, I think everybody for miles around came to watch the Americano take the bath at the Boomba, the water pump. That's one of the kids. And some of our school events. The Big Nigno Aquino is the proper name for the school at Campo Dos. And one of the cool things we did, one of the things we did this year, past year, was sponsored a King and Queen of Hearts event for both the schools. So all the kids get dressed up, and they vote on these two, their classmates, to be the king and queen. And then the school uses that to raise money for their sporting goods, sporting event stuff. And the one that has the raises the most money will actually be the king and queen of hearts. We just sponsored the prizes for all the kids, and then we played some games with the rest of the kids and gave them stuff. And this one, this is TTIC, the king and queen of hearts. They like, yeah, they dress nice and just walk around. That's all the participants. TTIC. And then I'll get to this girl, this boy here is deaf. And, you know, a lot of you know I used to work with this stuff with special needs kids. So for some reason, these special needs kids, even today when I'm over in the Philippines, they just kind of radiate to me. So he just kept trying to try and participate in everything that was going on. So I'm like, yeah, I've got some extra prizes here. So I gave him and this girl here, and I'll talk about her in a bit. And Benigno Aquino. And the girl in the picture is one of my the girls in the original picture that I took when I was there. And that was the king and queen of hearts of Benigno Aquino. Some of the kids. He's cute. And then these are super cute. So at the end, they got to dance together with their partners and stuff, and I couldn't help but take a picture of this one. That's Applekin. I've known her since she was a baby. So then we had graduation and moving up ceremonies. The grade six graduates in the kindergarten will have a graduation. Everybody else moves up. What I started doing is I started a Salt and Light Achievement Award. So the top three of each class will actually get, top three achievers of each class will actually get a Salt and Light Achievement Award. And we gave all the graduating sixth graders a Bible and Messiah. It's one of just one of the cute kids. Benigno Aquino moving up. They actually had some the robes and stuff, which was cool. Applekin again. She graduated kindergarten. Oh, good. I get to talk about the individual stuff. One of the cool things, let me find my notes here. I have highlights with some names and stuff. One of the cool things we started a few years ago, I don't know if any of you guys know them from Carrollton, Danny and Angel Tate. They're from around here. So they actually, I met them in the Magetti. They're starting the mission work, and they're actually in Sandongan, but they do stuff in town with one of the little communities in town. But they were coming over to the Philippines, and I drove the truck to the airport to pick them up. I'm standing there, and I'm going to start talking to this random American guy, and he starts telling me about this. He's involved with some doctor group, then they come in and they do cleft lip repair surgery and gave me his business card. I thought, well, okay, thank you. I'll keep that in if I find any kids, and then I'll keep that in mind. But I'd forgotten that 4 years ago when I'm walking to TF Village, I saw this kid with a cleft lip, and I was talking to the pastor. I'm like, Pastor, why can't we help that kid? I wish God would just give me all this money so I could help this kid. I totally forgot all about that. And then I went to a few years later when I started the TTIC outreach. I see the kid with a cleft lip, and then God reminds me, oh yeah, you got that business card that guy gave you 2 years ago that I set up for you to meet him, and you just forgot about it. So I went and found it. I emailed the doctor and found out when he was coming back to do surgery again. So in the process, God reminded me, oh, yeah, the kid at TF Village. Go find him. So I went and found him. But let me get back to it. I kind of like rambled on that one, but I'm preparing to go and finding out when to get the kids to this to for surgery and stuff. The guy, the American I met before, he had a stroke, and he couldn't do it anymore. He, like, contacted me. I want you to be our representative for your area. You'll find these kids that need cleft lip surgery and get them to the hospital and stuff. Let us know. And I'll give you all the information on how to get them there. And so I began to look. I ended up finding five kids in my area. God reminded me of the one I forgot about a long time ago. I went and found him. I found, like, I ended up with five, actually, five kids. So a few months ago, I forget exactly when it was, we loaded up all these kids and we took them to the Pollog in the truck, took them to the Pollog for the surgery and stuff. Three of the five actually had the surgery. Two were too sick and couldn't get it done. And yeah, we'll do it in just a little bit. The two are supposed to go on tomorrow, on Monday morning, to go have their surgery. One of them's sick, so your message earlier about taking authority, we're at the end, if it's okay, we'll take authority and pray for that one child to be healed, and so he can go get his surgery tomorrow. But one of the kids is Genovesa. Genovesa was the only girl. And you can look at it. I have the before picture, and like is when I first met her, she was a standoffish, didn't want to have anything to do with me. But now she's all beautiful. I went to visit her before I came back. She's not shy anymore. She's like, she was posing for my pictures. We're actually taking selfies together. We're just having a good time. But that just opened up another ministry for me. This is TF Village, the first place I went. I had to hike up a mountain to get to her house and stuff. But, you know, that just opened up a ministry to minister to this family and stuff. So we'll be going back there with the overflow of Christmas stockings or going to their little place. And then, my vision, we talked about the bunkhouses. Sid touched that on it a bit. But my big vision is to build a boarding house in Sundongan where we'll actually bring the children from the mountains that go through a scholarship process. We'll pick they'll come to Sundongan and stay and go to high school. And this came to me one time. I was at Campados. I'm walking around, and there's a girl there. She's 14 years old. She's playing with the kids during the day, but at night, I mean, she's married already. So I'm like, God, how do we stop this? What do we do? And I prayed about it and prayed about it, and that's where he gave me the vision of the boarding house and to build it and bring them to school so they can have an education. And I started the pilot scholarship program where I have four boys now that came from TTIC. And I had to convince their parents to let them come to town to continue their studies because the parents just assumed they stay there and on the farms and work because they're farmers and they're labor. And I'll introduce these four. We have the tallest one is Juven. He's age 17. He has like six siblings and he wants to be a teacher. He wants to go back to TTIC to teach the children there. The second one is Jim Boy. Jim Boy is 15. He has eight siblings. And he wants to be a policeman, so I had to pick him, right? Then Jehu is the third one in the orange shirt. He has one sibling, and he wants to be a police officer, too. So, of course, I had to pick Jehu. And then Rico June, which is the last one, he has one sibling and he wants to be a police officer too. So that's cool. But spending time with him, there's a calling on that boy's life. He just doesn't know it yet. You know, we went to kids church, he had his Bible with him and he was answering questions and stuff. So he's got a really cool, a good calling on his life. And they all want to get jobs and support their family, so support their families and stuff. So we started that. I have transferred to a new church. I go to the same Victory Church there in the Philippines, but I've transferred to Epil, which is a little further south of me, and this is the latest church plant, and I've been helping with the kids' church there. I've been teaching. I teach the preteens at least two times a week, and I've actually got a promotion lately. I'm like over one of the groups, the teaching groups. Well, yeah, excited about that. But but we're going to plant the Victory Church in Sandongan. So we did some campus studies because they're big into campus ministry. So we did campus studies of all the colleges and high schools and stuff. And then the church planner, he's going to be staying at my apartment some while he's there. And this is me convincing the parents to let the kids. But I have a really good friend. His name is Simpson. He's like with a social worker with the they're assigned to Sandongan. He goes to church, my church mate and stuff, and he's like, well, he's watching over the boys, and he's been taking care of them while I'm gone. Oh, this is the girl. Let me find my notes. Can anybody say her name? Well, okay, finally I found him. You know, education is like, it's free for everybody in the Philippines like it is here in the U.S. But, you know, it's a big struggle for the families to send their kids to school because, they don't have food for them to take. They're better off staying at the farm, working on a family farm and raising stuff and helping get, that's how they make their money there. And lots of times it's a great distance to get from school, from home to school and back every day. The lucky ones, they have relatives that live close by in the central area near the school, and they can stay with them. But there's a lot of them that aren't. And just imagine this girl here. Her name is, I'm going to try to pronounce it, Janusse. She has to walk 2 hours every day just to get to school. And it's not like a everyday walk, like walking on the highways here or the sidewalks here. This is a little small rocky path through the jungles of the Philippines. If anybody's seen Naked and Afraid XL, they've been in the Philippines lately. So imagine that. That's what it's like there in Titic. They're having to walk through these little narrow trails, crossing streams. And if it rains, if it's rainy season, the stream is flooded, they can't cross it. Because, hey, in the mountains, they don't swim. They're not going to cross these little river crossings. And that's what it's like for her every day. Sometimes she's there. She's only in grade 3 because she doesn't get to go to school that much. But, and I prayed about it, and I started talking to the principals at the schools. I'm like, what do we do? How do we intervene to get these kids to stay in school and to keep coming to school? And the ones, there's like 12, 13 more that aren't even going to school because they don't have a place to stay. He's like, it's simple. We just build a bunkhouse, just a simple little bunkhouse, and these kids can stay during the week, have a place to sleep. Their parents are going to send food for them, and if they don't, we'll provide that for them. And that'll help with this. So, I began to pray about it, and I came up with a project to build a bunkhouse. For $5,000, we can build a bunkhouse there in Titic, and another $5,000 build one at Campo Dos too because it's needed. And I've got favor with that. God just gave me favor. Somebody's already donated the lots to build the things on. And Titic, the counselor's husband is a builder. He's like, he's going to work for less than the normal wage to build for us, and he's going to build the whole thing. So, you guys, I need your help with that one. So if we'll just pray about it and do what God wants you to do. And I'm going to give you some praise reports on what he's been doing in the Philippines. This last Christmas, we were able to minister to over 1,000 kids. I mean, that's a lot of kids from the three outreaches. I didn't keep count. I mean, like giving candies and stuff, all the kids in my community, everywhere. It was awesome. I love Christmas. I've had two working students for the past couple of years, and one of my working students was, just as I'm coming home, was saved and baptized. So that's awesome. Well, not only that, but has a scholarship through the Victory Church. They have a what's called a Real Life Foundation, and has a scholarship for them, and is going to be studying in Zamboanga City, which they give that to only the top two scholars. And not only that, we'll be helping with the kids' church there. So it's really cool. Then 17 youth and adults were saved and baptized this past year at the Sabanan Evangelical Church there in Ligoron. And a lot of those are parents of the kids that we've been ministering to for the past few years. Then seven people were baptized at the Victory Church in Eeple this past year. Eight kids from Kids Church were saved and baptized just last month. So it's like, yeah, I mean, it's blowing up, finally. Even 5 years, just for my one working student, the past 5 years is worth every bit of sacrifice I've had to make. And I'll just give you some prayer requests. I mean, there was a earthquake in northern Luzon, which is, I'm on southern, I'm in Mindanao, which is far away, but there was like an earthquake, and I think eight people were killed during that. It's a pretty bad earthquake, so y'all be praying for the families and the people and the disaster relief stuff to come in and help those people. And we're seeing a dengue fever. Does that sound right, Chair? Dengue fever. We're having a big outbreak where I'm at. Like, several people have died, and lots of kids are sick and stuff. And that's a mosquito-borne virus that's really bad. And usually the second time around is when it can be fatal. So just be praying for that. And we'll get to the kids in a minute, of course. Pray for the church plant. And some of the things I'm looking need of is I need sponsor for my four boys. I mean, somebody wants to do that. I kind of got off track with my slides here. Aztec Elementary School. That's actually the girl's mom and her siblings. That's the trail going to their house. That's all the kids that don't have a place to stay. That's all. But some of the ministry needs, if anybody wants to, I need four sponsors for the four boys, like $40 a month. I have them renting a boarding house. I pay for their boarding house, gives them allowance, and we feed them. So, and we provide all their school supplies and uniforms and stuff. And the cool thing is about them is I already have four young adults from the church in Epil. Assigned to them. They're actually going to start discipling and start a discipleship program. And they, you know, they'll be helping me with all my stuff I do. And it's to the point there. I've got so much going on. I need an assistant. I need to hire an assistant. So be praying for provisions for that. Need a lot to build a boarding house on. Like to have a lot for me to build me a little house on, too, eventually. So I'll just throw that out there. And if anybody wants to write a check for the big boarding house, man, we'll take it. You know, it's like a $100,000 project. Just make the check out to Salt Night World Mission. I mean, and I keep waiting for the guy. I read these stories. And I keep waiting for the guy to randomly walk up to me in Walmart and give me the check. And that hadn't happened yet. But, I mean, I'll claim it already, so. We'll go ahead and claim that one. That's going to happen soon. I've all but stood out on the corner of 27 and 78 with the sign that says, "Hungry missionary, please help me. You need to build a boarding house." But Yeah, it's probably not a good idea, right? But that's about it. If you guys want to come together, let's declare authority and let's pray for that little boy. Jenny is his name, J-E-N-E. He's like 3 years old, and he has the actual double cleft lip. So we took him the first time he had a cold. And I'm checking on him yesterday. They're going tomorrow, and he has a cold and a fever now. So we have enough authority here. The boy can be healed like instantaneously. And I've already gave him instructions. I'm like, you check on him in the morning. If he's well, you take him to get his surgery. So I've already told him. I've already believed. And let's just come together and let's do that if you don't mind. I can actually pull up a picture of him if that's cool.
Y'all just stand to your feet, if you will. We'll just extend our hands toward Jeff on that. Father, right now we just come and we lift up this young man, Father, with the cleft palate, and we just pray that the cold that he has, the fever that he's running, that we declare life and wholeness. And complete health. We pray that that would just be supernaturally healed, and there would be no sign whatsoever, God, just move and facilitate so that he can have his surgery tomorrow. And we just declare that. We come in agreement with heaven on that. And we just pray you just touch and move, God. And Lord, we just thank you for Jeff and the ministry that's taking place over there. We thank you for the lives that are impacted. And I pray that his time here, Lord, that he's been refreshed these past couple months, and resources have been raised, and people's hearts have been stirred for the work that you're doing over there through him. And Lord, I pray that you would just be Jireh in every way, Lord, just be provision for him and provision for the work that needs to be done. And Lord, just stir and move in each of us, God, on how we can help, how we can come alongside this ministry and partner with him. And Lord, we just pray that Jeff would walk in supernatural favor over there, and that he would be an image bearer of you, God. And as they look, they don't see the nice American, but they would see the kingdom man that represents the love of Christ and releases the love of Christ and faith and passion and hope. And I pray that you would just stir in him, just use him in a mighty way, God. And we love you and we lift you up. We thank you for calling. We thank you for sending people and stirring in people's hearts, God. And we just celebrate that today. And Lord, once again, Lord, we just come and lift up this young man. We agree together as a body and declare divine wholeness over his body right now, Father. In Jesus' name we ask this and we believe this. Amen. Amen. Yes.
You have a display outside. You come by and see me after church and I'll talk to you. And have t-shirts for sale. You're going to actually going toward the building fund for these bunk houses and some little bracelets and stuff. Come see me after church.